Well, good morning, High Point. I would guess that you have now come to realize we're talking about temptation this morning. We continue in our study in the book of James, and we come up to that place where he has written in his letter about temptation. Before we get there, let me pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, your patience, and your mercy with us. We thank you for James and how you spoke through him words that would be relevant and practical to us. I pray, Lord God, that you would now speak through me, as I have nothing to say, but you have everything to say. And may we understand temptation so that we can overcome it and triumph over it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to guess that we have all been tempted by something that we know we shouldn't do. Maybe it was something that we wanted to say, or it was a look. Maybe it was something we shouldn't eat, or it was a post on social media. Maybe it was something that we were tempted to inhale, to ingest, or to smoke. Or maybe it was something that we were tempted to cheat, or to quit, or to flirt. There's all kinds of temptations out there. And how do those typically turn out? They don't turn out well, do they? I mean, we in that moment, we might feel exhilaration, but soon thereafter, there's often guilt and shame and hopefully remorse, and sometimes things even worse, like debt and divorce and addiction and depression and those kinds of things. And so we come to, in this study in the book of James, where he is now addressing in a very concise way, in compact way, the issue of temptation. And what he's going to do is he is going to kind of explain the inner workings of temptation, and then he's going to show us what is the solution to triumphing over our temptations. So if you would get your Bibles open or your app open, you'll notice there's an Old Testament and a New Testament table of contents. I want you to find the book of James. It is about two-thirds of the way down, and we're going to turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to look very quickly and briefly where James explains the inner working of temptation so we can understand it, and then more importantly, reveals the way that we can triumph over our temptation. So, James chapter 1, I'm going to pick it up with verses 13 through 18, if you'll follow along with me. James says this. He says, "No one undergoing a trial should say, 'I'm being tempted by God.'" Now, keep in mind, he's just talked about trials, and we talked about that last week. And inevitably, when we face trials and struggles, there will always be temptations. Temptations to get out of them in the wrong way. And so he's acknowledging the fact that when you're undergoing these trials, he says, "No one should say, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone," James says. "But each person is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death." Now let me stop there, and we'll finish the rest in just a moment, but He dives into the inner working of temptation. And what I want you to notice first is he says that we're drawn away. That's when we know temptation begins, is when we're drawn away. Now, what are we drawn away from? Well, we're drawn away from something that's very safe, something that protects us from where temptation wants us to go, ultimately, as you just read, and that is to sin and then to death. And so what we need to recognize in the inner working of temptation is that this is a warning. James has given us a warning. And he's saying, you're going to be drawn away. And when you sense you're being drawn away, recognize the dangerous place that you're going in hopes that we can kind of capture and arrest our attention and recognize this and stop what's happening. Because what temptation is trying to do is it's trying to pry you away and trying to pry me away from something that's safe, something that's protective. And James will come to that in just a moment. Now, understand that in this being drawn away, we can be drawn away by good things and we can be drawn away by bad things. We can be drawn away from that safe, protective place from good things like work and our kids and our hobbies and projects and doing fun things. We can be drawn away from those things, from that safe place. But we can also be drawn away by bad things. We can be drawn away by disappointment and toxic relationships and pressure and trials, which is the context of which James is addressing this idea of temptation. Now, what I also want you to notice, and this is when we look at verse 16, he says, "Don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers." He connects deception with temptation. Now we need to make, and we need to understand that connection. He says, don't be deceived by what? By your own evil desires. That's what happens. He says in verse 14, but each person is tempted when he's drawn away by his own evil desires. So what we need to recognize is in the midst of temptation, there is deception going on. And who's trying to deceive us? Well, James says, we ourselves are trying, our evil desires, and we all have evil desires. Don't think so much satanic. Think like selfishness, ungodliness, worldliness, if you will. Things like pride and greed and those kinds of things. We begin to talk to ourselves. We begin to actually play into the deception of ourselves when we say things like, well, we're really not doing anything wrong. Or we'll say to ourselves, it's no big deal, or we deserve this, or no one's going to find out, or everybody else is doing it. So in the inner working of temptation, we're being drawn away from something that's safe and something that's protective, and we're being drawn away through deception. But it's the deception of our own evil desires, our own brokenness. And James says that we're in the midst of being drawn away as we are enticed. We're drawn in. We're lured into these things and these places and these people that we shouldn't be around because of the danger that they are to us and to that safe place that we were. Now, when you see evil desires, we need to recognize we're born with those. Everyone has them. You're born broken. I'm born broken. We're born with pride and selfishness and greed and lust and all kinds of things. And what happens is our evil desires entice us to focus on those things, to take our focus off of what was safe, what was protective, and to focus on the things that we shouldn't. And you know what that's like. I know what that's like. You start to feel this pull, this tug in your heart and in your head away from safety. And you no longer, what happens is you stay in the store too long. Or you look at that person too long, or you stay online too long, or you think that thought, or you meditate on that which makes you angry, and you're being enticed. And my friends, there is a point of no return. And James says that. He says, but each person is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. And then verse 15, he says, then after desire has conceived, what he's talking about is there's this point of no return. And this is when you've decided in your heart and you've decided in your head, I'm doing this. And you kind of feel this excitement. You feel some satisfaction momentarily. And what happens, my friends, is that hurtful word, that lustful thought, that deceitful action, it starts to come down the birth canal, if I'm staying with his birth analogy, and here it comes. And what does James say? He says, once you pass that point of no return, when you're enticed by your own desires, and when that desire has conceived, he says what in verse 15? He says, it gives birth to sin. And that means you say it, you think it, you do it. I say it, I think it, I do it, and there it is. Sin is out. Now, what I want you to notice, it's really important, is there's an equation here. James is talking about an equation. Sorry, I know school's out, kids, but this is an equation. And the equation goes like this. Temptation plus evil desires equals sin. Now, here's what we need to understand about this, about the equation. This is really important. Temptation itself is not a sin. Jesus himself was tempted in the wilderness. So when you're tempted and you feel the temptation, that's not the sin. Where do we get in trouble when temptation happens? It's with our evil desires. That's the problem. That's what we need to really focus in on so that we can triumph over our temptations. And James will get to that in just a moment. But you're always going to have temptations. I am always going to have temptations. And so what we really need to focus on is the desires. Now, before we get to that and how we deal with that, let's see how this inner working of temptation plays out. You heard me read just a moment ago that from being drawn away from the safe, protective place, of which we'll look at in just a moment, we then are in this position of being enticed, and that's when we start to feel the tug and the pull in our head and our heart to go in the direction we don't want to go. And then we're there too long, and we pass the point of no return, and we say, that's it, I'm going to do it. And there's a sense of excitement for a moment, there's a sense of exhilaration and satisfaction, and we sin. And it says, James says, that when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Now, what does he mean by that? What he's saying is that when sin is fully grown, in one sense, he's speaking two-dimensionally. In one sense, he's speaking about in the ultimate, in the future. And that is, this is a warning to the person who continues to give in to temptation every time, to give in to their desires, not God's desires. And there's no godly sorrow, there's no remorse, there's certainly no repentance. It's just standard operating procedure. And that, my friends, James is saying, will lead to ultimately separation from God, eternal separation from God in hell. And that's a warning. It's a scary warning, but I pray that anyone that needs to hear it is hearing it. Now, for the Christ follower, what does it mean when he says that it gives birth to death? Well, he's talking about presently, right now, that when, and you've experienced this, I've experienced this, that when we give in to sin and we give in to temptation, does it ever turn out well after the fact? Like I said, there's that moment of excitement. There's that moment maybe of satisfaction. I'm gonna say and speak my piece. But then soon after that's regret, and there's guilt, and there's shame, and there's all kinds of things that can die from that. Relationships can die. Your self-esteem can die. Regret can eat you up. You can lose a job. You can lose a friendship. You can lose a marriage. All kinds of things can come from that. And James is saying, be very careful. This is a warning. Sin leads to death, the death of things that really matter. Now, that's the inner working. Let's look at how does James now give us the solution? How do we triumph over temptation? We'll look at verse 17 and 18. He says, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, he says, coming down from the Father of lights. He says, with him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the message of truth so that we would be the first fruits of his creatures. So James has shown us the inner working of temptation so that at each stage we can recognize where we are. And in a moment, I'll tell you what we need to do. But he also gives us the cure. How do we truly triumph over our temptations? Well, he says, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above. He says, it's from the Father of lights. He says, the things that you're looking for, that temptation wants to draw you away from, that safe place, which is the it's your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship with God through Christ. That's the safe place. That's the protective place. And when we're tempted to be drawn away from that, what temptation does is temptation oversells and underdelivers. It says something outside of God is where you'll find the good things that you're looking for. But James says, no, go back. Remind yourself. Be mindful that all the good things that you want and desire, that God has given you inside of you, these desires, they are satisfied ultimately in God through Christ. That is our safe place. He says there's no deception from God. He is steadily the same, James says, when he says that there's no variation or shadow cast by turning. Our relationship with God is that source. It is that safe place where we need to stay. It's where if you lost everything, I mean, if you lost your spouse or your family, or if you lost your health or your job, whatever it might be, you would still be okay. Now, would it be hard? Yes. But because God is the source of all that you need, all that is good, and because the time that you would be without those things that I just mentioned is relatively short when you compare it to eternity, God would see you through and get you through. Now, let's go back to that equation. Remember that equation? Temptation plus evil desires equals sin. We said temptation is not a sin. So what's the problem with that equation? It's our evil desires. Well, how do we change our desires? Well, in verse 18, he says, by his own choice, that's God's choice, he gave us a new birth by the message of truth. He's talking about a brand new birth, that we're born again. And how does it come? It comes through the Word of God. It comes through what Jesus was teaching. It's called the gospel. And Jesus came and he said, everybody's broken. And temptation wins and prevails over broken people. But Jesus says, I've come to heal. I've come to set free. And it's going to be through my work, not your work. And so Jesus lived a perfect life in your place and in my place. And then he died a substitutionary death in your place and in my place to satisfy a holy God. And then God raised him 3 days later. That's critical. That was God's way of saying, this is whom I accept in the place of all that I love. to be satisfied, my wholeness to be satisfied for the forgiveness of all sins. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, John chapter 3 tells us that we're born again. And this born again experience actually was prophesied back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel prophesied that this day would come. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, this is God speaking through the prophet of Ezekiel of what was to come. And He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. What is He talking about? He says, I will give you new desires. And when you become a follower of Christ, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus' work, not your own work, you're born again. And God gives you these new desires that change that equation, that give you strength in the midst of when that temptation comes. You have these new desires for the things of God. And my friends, the best thing you can do, the best protection, the safest place you can be and I can be when we're facing temptation is in a relationship with Christ with new desires. And so let me leave you with this morning. Albeit I know this has been brief, but this is a compact power, a powerful place in the Scripture that helps us to really triumph over our temptations. And here's what I want to say. There are different stages. If you realize you're being drawn away, and it could be by good things, that you've just not really been like Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. To abide means to cling, to remain in Christ. If you realize you've been drawn away from that, it's a warning. Get back to it. Protect yourself. Get back to that safe place. If you realize you're actually being enticed, you're past, you're in that scary point, you're almost coming to the point of no return, please reach out and ask someone for help. We're here. We've been there. And we want to help you. Reach out and ask them. Say, I'm really struggling. I feel like I'm being kind of sucked in to something I don't want to do, and I know a place I don't want to go. If you've just flat out sinned, you said, you know what? Yep, I got drawn away. I was enticed. I went past the point of no return, and I just completely gave in to the temptation, and I have sinned. My friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news for you. And that is just repent. Confess that to God. Confess that to a godly person and receive the forgiveness of Christ for his work that he did on your behalf. And then get back and be a good branch and cling and remain. And lastly, if you're in that safe place, you're in that protective place, you are abiding and remaining, you're being a good branch, man, well done. Stay there. Be humble, because temptation is around the corner. And we have an enemy that wants to devour and to destroy us. And so I encourage you, stay connected. Continue to worship. Continue to read God's Word. Continue to pray. Be around godly people. That's a safe place. That's a protective place. And you will not be drawn away. So let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. I thank you for James as he takes apart and pulls apart what temptation is all about, the inner workings of it, so we can recognize where we are in that process and know what to do when we find ourselves there, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you are our Father who provides from us all that we need, all that is good. And I pray that each and every person in High Point Church and the church family will find that to be true in an abundant way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do now is just encourage you to give back, to take what God has given you and to continue to give back to the ministry of High Point Church. And so you can do that through our church app. You can do that through online, or you can snail mail. You can put it in the mail and just send it to us. We have a new address. You'll need to go on our website for that. Hopefully last week we put up the new address for you for that. And also, I want to remind you, the building campaign, thank you. Some of you are still continuing to give. I really appreciate that. The building campaign, we've extended to the end of this year, given COVID and everything else. So you can still finish out your pledge, and I would encourage you to do that. But that's it from here. God bless you. Have a good week, and I'll see you next week.